Go ahead, brother. Yeah. That's right, brother. Listen.
The man when the Lord reached down and got me.
Yeah.
I just remember it as clear as a veil. It took time for growth. It took time for growth. But there was a change that came over inside of me. It just changed me from the first. I used to not like people. I used to didn't want to talk to people. Didn't care about anybody. And right now I find myself still weeping for people that I don't even know.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Yes. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. Ain't that a blessing? Yeah.
I get out there and I bid the job, and I'm going back out the driveway. There's a spot that I would stop when I get up the driveway where I smoke my dope. That's where I first would smoke the dope for the first, in the beginning before I take off.
Yeah.
I just stopped my truck out there, I said, thank you, Lord.
Yes. Yeah.
And all that junk that I had, you can have every bit of it.
Yeah.
I was the most miserable as I ever was when I had the most money I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I got the Lord blessed us with a house and blessed me with a wife and I've got the dead love.
Yeah.
And my life is so good. I just want to stand up and praise God. So he reached down. He reached way down for me. Got me out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, brother. Amen. I was thinking while they were singing that you ought to just make that the RU theme song. Go ahead, Brother Jerry. Amen. Yep. Yeah. Amen, brother. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. How about that? That whether you know it or not. I ain't got one before you, Brother Carl. For you, whether you know it or not, my mind just went blank. Brother Jerry's wife, she has a pet name for him. It's Mr. Wonderful. Mr. Wonderful. She hated his guts, but God got in his life. He went from Mr. Horrible to Mr. Wonderful. And that's just the Lord. Go ahead, Maureen. Yes.
When I first came here, I was so lost. And I got my relationship with Jesus. I come here every time the Lord draws me. I come home. And this is for His glory. But I was so deceived out there.
Yeah.
I come on Monday nights, Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday.
Yeah.
And he had been so deceived, but I could God.
Amen. Sure. Amen. Go ahead, Carl.
Well, today is 8 months to the day that I got saved.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, I just have to give God all the glory because, you know, like Jason, I came from a very low place. And, you know, most of you know that my story. You know, being homeless in the city of Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I don't question the way the Lord does stuff.
Right.
But it's amazing that when in your heart, when you seek the truth, and you've been lied to, like Mormon was just saying, you know, when you've been deceived your whole life, you know, I grew up in church here in Marietta, in a Baptist church.
Right. Amen, brother.
It's not, I'm not understanding.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for me, I have to be with that every single day.
That's amen.
Time after time.
Sure.
You know, the devil, you know, I'm fortunate because I was an addict for 37 years. And when I came here and I got saved, that got removed from my life.
Amen.
And I can't give God enough glory for doing that. But you know, the devil, he doesn't stop. He's putting other little things.
Sure.
You know, I have to really watch.
Amen, brother.
I walk because you never know.
Right.
Which, you know, I have prayed, and just like Jason teaches me how you. You know, so I pray to the Lord every single day for him to remove everything.
Amen.
To me again, because I can't have that.
Right.
It could be a woman, it could be time at work, it could be just about anything.
Right.
That the devil can just get a little.
Sure. Yep.
And I just, you know, I have to give all the thanks to Happy Valley Church and being here.
Amen,
and I
buddy.
I need a place to go.
Amen.
It's amazing that that sign was right there on the day that, the day that I get here.
Yeah.
2 hours, I'm coming by. I mean,
yeah, brother. Amen. Yeah. What a blessing.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother David. Yeah.
Long before he got three jobs, and he started to have
me. Yeah. Yeah.
Perfectly good gentleman that sang that song. One of them's gone.
Yep.
The other's good for the money.
Yep.
He's just so good, brother.
Yes, sir, brother.
He's just so good, all
the time. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm sure
you guys never told your children to look at
you. Yeah.
I'm sure you guys never
remember
that. He's just too good.
Glory to God, brother.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Woo.
Every day.
Every day. Ain't that good? Philippians chapter 4. Right back where we were this morning. Same title, much more of it. Amen. While you're turning there, Brother Jason, I had a dream the other night. I was up in Texas. My first night out of town after I've been home for a couple of days, I always have trouble sleeping and a toss and turn and dream weird stuff. Well, I had a dream Monday night or Wednesday night, and I'm beginning to think it was more of a vision than it was a dream. But I believe next year for the Victory Valley Ranch, we need a covered wagon with two mules in that parade, amen? I'm serious heart attack. I can see it just plain as day, amen? But I think that old man's dead would be a good theme song for RU and the Victory Valley Ranch. Thank God. Only God can take a life that is so messed up that everybody else has given up on. There's only so much we can do. Brother Carl's family had said, we've done all we can. We've done all we know to do. Probably, I don't know, I hadn't heard it out of his mouth, but if he's like most dope heads, he'd probably stole from his family. Probably had. Man, when you do that stuff, you're not yourself. You're not yourself. That thing's like a demon. It takes over your body, and you have absolutely no control. You say, well, I'd never sell my mother's TV. You get hooked on crack, you will. Amen. You get your life run by methamphetamines, you'll do anything. You know, we're sitting here talking about little Hannah out there in Texas. I'll preach in a minute, but I got this stuck in my craw, and I need to cough it on up. Amen. We talk about her mama and how horrible she is, that she'd sell her own daughter for drugs. Ain't no way in the world she'd do that in her right mind. I'm glad we got a place where people that's messed up like that can come. Amen. I'm glad this is a city of refuge for dope heads, for drunks. Amen. So I don't want to go to church with people like that. Now, if you go to them other churches where they ain't people like that, they're just covering it up real good. Amen. Y'all all right? I don't care where you go, they sinners. Especially them churches where they act like they're perfect. They just good at hiding it, amen? Thank God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. I'm going to rehash a little bit of this morning because we got our children's church and junior church workers and teen workers that are out this morning, but I won't belabor it. Philippians 4 and verse 19, the Bible said, but my God shall supply all what? Your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your need. A-double-L, all your need according to his riches and glory. I'm glad he put that according to. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's kind of like he gave us his account number. Yeah. It's kind of like he gave us his credit card number. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So if God is going to supply my need, then I've got to depend on the amount he has in his account. Amen. He has a triple gold card. It has no limit. It's without limits and it's without bounds. And God is not getting broke. He's not borrowing from China. Amen. Amen. He's not. There's not a debt ceiling with God. Amen. He's able to meet all. He's able to meet my need, and he's able to meet your needs and everybody else's needs simultaneously. Amen. Now, I said this morning, the Lord dealt my heart about this while I was in the Western store out in Texas, and I was walking through there, and everything I saw, I thought I needed. I said, I need that, and I need that, and I need that. I was even looking, I was looking at, it wasn't in Texas, but I was looking at a saddle the other day, and I told my wife, I said, I need that saddle. She said, no, you need a horse to go under it. Amen. I thought, no, I got a saddle stand in the garage, and when ain't nobody looking, I can sit on it and say, yeehaw. Amen. I still got enough little boy in me, amen. But this morning I talked about there is a difference between what you want and what you need. There is a difference. How many of y'all thought about that today? There is a big difference in what you want and what you need. And if we were all honest, our needs are pretty much met. God has given me everything I need. We started talking about the basic needs as we see our needs in the Bible. And I'll go over a couple of them that we covered this morning and pick up from there. But God is so good that he's not only given us our needs, but he's given us our wants. How about that? Now, you could go down to 316 Peter Street in Atlanta, Georgia tonight, and I could introduce you to a bunch of homeless men who the night before slept under a bridge on I-20. And you could look at them folks and say, poor, poor people. Their needs are met. They've got a roof over their head. They've got clothes on their back. They may not come from Abercrombie. I wouldn't wear something that said Abercrombie on it, save my life. It's just a little side note, but why do you use naked people to advertise a clothing store? That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Hallelujah. You go by that place in the mall, all them pictures, posters on the window, ain't none of them people got clothes on. I thought you sold clothes. You don't go in a ladies' clothing store and a bunch of naked mannequins, do you? They put clothes on them. Well, it ain't got nothing to do with the message, just I always wondered about that. Amen. They got clothes on their back. They may be hand-me-downs. They got food in their belly. They got a cot to lay down on tonight. Amen. So therefore, I would say their needs are met. I wonder how many of you would be thankful if you was in a rescue mission tonight. Compare it to the bridge they were under last night. I just want us to realize how good God is at meeting and fulfilling this verse. And I want you to watch yourself from now on every time you say those two words, I need. Honey, I'm going to Walmart. You need anything? And I have to sit there and think, And in my mind, I'm mentally checking deodorant, shampoo. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Man, when you have to think if there's anything you need, you probably don't need nothing. When you've got to sit there and contemplate in your mind, your wife's on her way to Walmart, I'm thinking, what do I need? I need some more camouflage. I need some gun shells. Amen, help me now. Need a new gun? Yeah. Fishing rod, Zoom, lizards, amen, to fish with. Hey, I think of a lot of stuff. There ain't none of that stuff that I need. And stuff that I want. And I want you to watch yourself every time you say, I need, you correct yourself. And say, no, that's just what I want. Thank you, Lord, I have what I need. I wonder how often the Lord in heaven hears us, hears the things we say and go, no, you don't. I'm taking good care of you. I'm taking good care of you. Matter of fact, I'm taking better care of you than I did my own son. Jesus said the birds of the air have nests. Is that right? And the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He was the original homeless guy. Are y'all all right? Man, how good is he taking care of us? Our needs are met. Our wants may not all be met. If you had everything you wanted, you wouldn't be worth shooting. And by the way, you probably never will. You know what happens when people, and I'll get to this preaching in a minute. I'm meddling right now. You know what happens when you get everything you want? You go crazy. You lose your stinking mind. Can I prove it to you? Go to Walmart or Publix or Kroger, one of them places after church, and go to the checkout aisle and read the covers on the tabloids. What happened? They got more money than they could ever spend and lost their cotton picking mind. They can't be satisfied with a spouse. They can't be satisfied with their body. Thank God, God give me this and I got one that don't need nothing. Amen. Amen. Joan Rivers. You can melt that woman down and build a rubber raft. That's a fake. Amen. Nothing makes them happy. Why? Because they got everything they want. Are you all right? I'm glad I don't have everything I want. Gives you something to dream for. Gives you something to hope for. Amen. But I am glad I've got all I need. Let me say that again. I am glad that I have all I need. You remember that old hymn we used to sing, Christ is all I need? Christ is all I need. Next time you say, I need, remember that little song. And then bow your head and thank God that your needs are met. Amen. Say, I'm sorry, Lord, I don't really need that, but I'd like to have it. Thank you that I've got everything I need. Amen. Amen. We ought to realize how good God's been to us. And the next time somebody asks you, hey, how are you doing? Man, I'm doing great. I got everything I need. How about that? That'd be a good testimony. Hey, how's it going? Man, going great. God's given me everything I need. I don't need nothing. Amen. Little girl in Sunday school one time, the teacher was teaching from the 23rd Psalm. And she read the first verse. It said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. She said, does anybody know what that verse means? And the little girl said, yep, the Lord's my shepherd and I don't need nothing. Now, I like that. It's a pretty good way to look at it. Amen. Thank God for the wisdom he gives children sometimes. This morning, we talked about legitimate needs. We looked at Matthew chapter number 6, and I won't go back there. He said where the Gentiles say the Lord told them to not worry about what they'll eat or what they'll drink or what they'll put on. And we talked about our temporal or our material needs. Yeah. That is a legitimate need, right? I need clothes. I need food. I need water. Those are material needs. And we talked about this morning how if we're not careful, we'll put the material need over the greater need. Because Jesus answered that thing in Matthew chapter number 6. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you'll put God in his proper place, he'll take care of those material needs. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I believe we'll just let God be God and seek him. And he didn't just say seek him. It said seek him and his righteousness. He said all these things. What things? Food, clothes, water, all that stuff. He'll take care of those material needs. And most of you, if you'd be honest tonight, your material needs are met. You've got more than you need. Let me say it again. You've got more than you need. My wife and I, man, praise the Lord. The Lord allowed us to build that house back in 2001, and we had three children at home at the time. And because and people might look at our house and go, boy, they got a lot of money. No, we had a lot of help. We were looking at buying a double-wide trailer and putting on that little piece of property we bought. And Brother Freddie was talking to me one day, and we'd been looking at double-wides. And, man, they're pretty nice. I'm not ashamed. I'd live in one right now if I had to, you know, if I didn't have nothing else. I'd be glad to live in a double-wide. So I'm not knocking if you live in a double-wide. I'm just saying we were looking at buying a new double-wide and tickled to death, man, about getting it. And Brother Freddie said, how much is that double-wide you're looking? And I told him, he said, we can build a house for that. And we did. And boy, I walked around that house the other day. Brother Caleb and Jasmine and the lady who lives with them and their children were with us all through camp meeting. And all week long, I could hear little feet running through the house and hear a baby cry. And I thought, boy, there's some memories, man. There's some memories. I mean, boy, when my kids were home. But now we got that big old house, man. We've turned Katie's room into a gym. And we got the playroom for the kids and a guest room. Amen. And I got that big old house. And I walk around thinking, God, I got more than a need. Somebody ought to get happy right there and just shout and give God the glory that you've got more than you need. Amen. Amen. You know why people's all the time having yard sales? That's how Brother Robbie makes a living, off other people's junk. That's true. You know why they have yard sales? They got more than they need. They have to step over so much stuff. I guarantee you every one of you's got a garage or a building or a closet or something that you're scared to open the door. Because junk's going to fall out on your head. I always think about Fred Flintstone. He opened the door and the bowling ball fell off. Y'all remember that? The big old knot? Amen. We got more than we need. Our material needs are met. Then we talked about our physical needs. Our physical needs. We talked about healing, our health, our bodies. We asked, was it okay to ask for healing? And we had a good time making fun of Benny Hinn this morning. Thomas, you should have been in here. We had a good time. Me and Brother Shane, Brother Thomas, we got a plan. We'll take you with us if you want to go. Next time old Benny comes around, we're going to take Brother Shane and see if Benny can put a leg where there ain't one. And I'm putting big money on that. I don't think he can do it. Amen? But is it okay to ask for healing? According to James chapter 5, it is okay to ask for healing. Amen. Paul asked for healing. Paul asked for healing. He asked three times that God remove the thorn from his flesh. Somebody said, what was a thorn? Why do people worry about that? It don't matter. Some say it was eyesight. I had one guy tell me he had stomach ulcer. Where'd you get that, man? You must have got that out of one of them Greek lexicons. It ain't in my Bible. Amen. He said Paul had stomach issues. Okay. He probably did. Probably had eye problems too. I don't know what the thorn was. But he had a problem, and he asked God to heal it. Now watch this. Can't get mad at God. God told him no. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And his grace is sufficient for you. And his grace is sufficient for me. Can God heal? Amen. Help me, can God heal? Yes. Now, if God doesn't heal, does it mean you're wicked? No. I'd say the Apostle Paul, outside of Jesus Christ, was the greatest Christian who ever lived. Of course, Jesus wasn't a Christian, he was Christ. Christian means like Christ. He wasn't like Christ. He is Christ. Amen. But I'd say Paul was the greatest Christian to ever live. He wrote 13 books of the Bible. How you doing? Amen. But God told him no. Sometimes our infirmity may be for our benefit. God may get more out of us because of our infirmity. Now watch this. Now, I'm not belittling, and I'm not making fun. But I thought about this afternoon. I was laying across the bed and just thinking about tonight, and a person came to my mind who God has used greatly in America. Television reached more souls than probably I'll ever get to. He's went off to the left a little bit now, but I'm not discrediting what the man has done. And that's Brother David Ring. Anybody know Brother David Ring? He's the preacher who says, "Our house shall we be palsy, what's your problem?" And I'm not mocking or making fun. You got to understand what I'm saying. But let me ask you this. Wonder how many television shows he'd have been on. Wonder how many crusades he would have preached. Wonder how many souls he might have reached had he not had cerebral palsy. I can stand here tonight and say, "Hey, I've got cerebral palsy. What's your problem?" I don't see nobody crying. God used his infirmity. Brother Randy Pike sat right there on that pew, and he sat on the front row in our old building and held them crutches up to me and said it was God's will for his life. So just because God doesn't heal doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Sometimes it may mean he loves you so much he wants to bring you on home with him. I'm thrilled to death God healed Brother Anthony, and I'm so glad God healed Sister Ashley and others and Miss Kay, and I'm glad God touched their infirmity and their cancers and the different things. I'm glad God did that. But sometimes I'm just as glad when God calls one home. That's healing. That's the ultimate healing right there. Amen. So we talked about our physical need. Now tonight, I want you to go to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, and I want to talk about our personal need. And if I don't get done with this, I don't care. I want to talk about our personal need, your greatest personal need after salvation. I should have mixed these up because that's next. But anyway, after salvation, your greatest need in your life is your personal need. In Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 42. Luke 10 and verse number 42. We've got Martha and Mary. You know the deal. Martha came to the Lord in verse number 40. The Bible said, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Martha has chosen that good part." Mary has chosen that good part. I got to get a bigger magnification. I knew who it was. But Mary had chosen that good part. Now listen to me. I'm talking about our personal need of our own relationship with God. You are only as strong as your relationship with God. And by the way, your relationship with God is not my responsibility. It's my job to preach the Word of God to you, but I am not to come into this church and put a bib around your neck and go... It's not my job to spoon feed you. You would be amazed. Over the years, I've heard people in other churches, even churches where I'm preaching a revival meeting, people pull me aside. "Pastor, can I talk to you?" No. You got a preacher. I told a lady yesterday who I love dearly with all my heart. Maybe it was today. No, it was yesterday. I love her with all my heart. She used to go to our church, moved away, go somewhere else. She said, "I need to talk to you." And I started listening for a few minutes. I said, "No, you need to talk to your pastor." Yeah, but I need to know. You need to talk to your pastor. Amen. But I've heard this statement. I've heard it once. I've heard it a thousand times, Brother William. I'm just not being fed. 9 times out of 10, when those people make that statement, they don't go to Sunday school. They don't come back on Sunday night, and they don't come on. Listen, if you don't come Sunday school, and you don't come Sunday night, and you don't come Wednesday night, I guarantee you, you ain't reading your Bible for yourself. You say, how do you know? Well, I figure if you're reading this Bible like you ought to, you're going to have a desire to be in Sunday school where that Bible is taught. You're going to have a desire to be in church where the Bible is preached. Amen? Hey, you have a personal responsibility to build your relationship with God. Amen. That's your greatest need. Jesus said, Martha, I appreciate you working. I appreciate you serving, but Mary hath chosen the good part. Where was she? She was at his feet listening to his words. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Hey, I guarantee you every one of us could do better in our daily relationship with our Savior. Everyone. Old Dr. Tom Williams, he was here a couple years ago. He's the old cowboy preacher in Montana. I mean, he's a real deal cowboy. But old Brother Tom, if you ever hung out with him, he's weird. He's talking to you one minute and talking to God the next. We're riding down the road. Next thing I know, Father, just as plain as, I mean, just like God was sitting in the truck. I'm scared to look over. I'm serious heart attack. You know what that is? That's just a relationship with God. Amen. Listen, your marriage is only as strong as your relationship with your Savior. And listen to this. Listen carefully. Some marriages, it has to be double strong. Because you've got to be spiritually strong enough for you and your spouse. Are y'all listening? Some of you come to church without your husband. Some men come to church without their wife. You got to be strong enough for both of you. That don't mean you the spiritual boss at the place neither. If you're a wife, you're still to be in submission to your husband. Whether he's doing right or doing wrong, you still got an obligation to fulfill. But buddy, you're going to have to really be prayed up. If you go to church and it's heaven on earth and you go home and it's hell on earth, hey buddy, you better get enough heaven on earth while you're here to get you through the hell on earth when you get there. Does that make sense? We've got other ladies in our church like my mother who raised her children all by herself. I don't remember. I'm sure there were days where there was sickness or something, but I don't remember missing church. She had two little kids, one of them a newborn. And we was at church every time the doors was open, visitation on Saturday. She run a van. We didn't just pick up kids Sunday morning. She picked up kids Sunday night and Wednesday night. She run a van, picked up young'uns. She got so busy and tied up picking up young'uns, she left my little sister at church one night. Sure did. Had to go back and get her. I'm just saying, you better work on that relationship. You know what I remember? My mother raising us by herself. Something that stands out in my mind. Mama loved to read them old Harlequin. Is that what you call them? Harlequin romance, whatever you call them, them love stories. Mama liked to read them. You know what I remember her reading more than I remember her reading them love stories? I wrote a poem about it. I got it at the house. She's got it framed. After I got called to preach, I think I was already pastoring. I got a hold of my mama's. She was moving, I believe. Yeah, you're right, I did. I went in my mama's house and stole it. But I was sitting in my study one night, and I started thinking about mama's old Scofield Bible. And it was just falling all apart. But I remember my mama, she had one of them pillows that you sit up on in the bed. And I remember sitting here watching her read that Bible every day of her life. And I wrote a poem about mama's old black book. You know the reason she raised us in church and was able to make it? She had her own relationship with the Lord. Amen. There was people probably in our own church who judged her because she is a divorced woman. Yeah. Y'all listen to me? I grew up in the day, man, if you was divorced, you was cursed above all cattle. Amen. Amen. Hey, we ain't like that around here. We love you. There's a place for you. Amen. You don't come in here with a mark on you because you've been married before. Amen. Y'all all right? Amen. You see, she wasn't dependent on a relationship with a preacher or her relationship with a deacon boy. Amen. I remember one night, in sixth grade, fifth and sixth grade. M.T. Fuller was our principal at New Georgia Elementary. Y'all remember Mr. Fuller, Brother Stacy? M.T. Fuller was our, did you square dance? I did too. But Mr. Fuller had a square dance team. And we'd square dance. I mean little kids, this tall, man. And PTA came around. And when it was, we took a thing during the square dance and we went and got our mamas and square danced with our mamas. The next day, the deacons was knocking on our door. My mama got a visit. Miss Bonnie Dice, that just went to heaven a few weeks ago, she got a visit. There's several. We all went to that school. I mean, boy, they was visiting every one of them mamas, bringing charges on them because they square danced with their children. It's a fact with my hand up. Do you know how many services she missed on account of that? None. She had her own relationship with God. Listen to me. If you've got your relationship with God right, I can't run you off. Yes. Facebook can't run you off. Yes. If you've got your relationship with God where it ought to be. Amen. Do you understand that is a personal need in your life? Yes. I had a man tell me one day on visitation. He said, my wife goes to church enough for both of us. You don't share these points. This ain't Delta. Yeah. You don't share these sky miles, friend. You got to get your own. Yeah. Y'all okay? Yeah. You need your own personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife and I come December, Brother Jerry. Y'all be what, 46? That means you a lot older than me. At least you are, not your wife. December the 10th, we'll celebrate 30 years. Let me tell you something. Our relationship today is better than it has ever been. We was talking last night, and I said, you know, I've loved you all your life. She said, I know you have. I said, but you know what? Somewhere along the line, I learned how. As a young husband, I was stupid. I'd done some stupid stuff, and Terry made me do it. Amen. I did some stupid stuff. I didn't know how. Man, I never had a daddy growing up. I didn't know how to be a good husband. I thought I'm married and I can do what I want. I ain't got mama to fuss at me. Amen. But boy, when I got a relationship with the Lord, then my relationship with my wife began to change, and it's grown and grown and grown and grown and grown, and it's sweeter and sweeter. She doesn't have to say a word. I can look at her and tell how she's feeling. I don't have to say a word. She can look at me and just about know what I need and what I want. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter number 6? He knows what you need before you even ask. Boy, when you love one another long enough and that relationship's grown, you can read one another's mind. How many of you have been married a while and you're having a conversation and you and your wife start to speak at the same time and you say the same thing? Have you ever had your husband or your wife look at you and say, you know what I was thinking? And you go, you ain't gonna believe this. I was thinking the same thing. You know what that is? That's in tune, brother. And you know what? If your relationship with your spouse grows like that, your relationship with your Savior ought to be like that. If God says, hey, I want to put something on your heart, you say, I can't believe that, Lord. I was thinking about that yesterday. Amen. Our relationship with God ought to grow. Shame is, most Christians and most Baptist churches, they're no further along in their relationship than where they were the day they got saved. I'll get it out in a minute. We have a material or a temporal need. We have physical needs. We have personal needs, and that's our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the most important. Build everything else. That's our foundation. If you're going to build a house, you got to build it on something, and it's Him. Then what about our moral needs? Our moral needs. Morally, we are bankrupt. Our country is an all-time moral low. I'm going to, if I can figure out where to send it, I'm going to shoot off an email tomorrow to the RFD channel on Dish Network. That's where my television stays. It's the Rural Farm and Development. I ain't got a farm, but I sure like what. Anyway. It's got all stuff about horses. And they pride themselves in it being a family channel. And you'll never see anything on their channel that you'd be ashamed for your children to see. Well, today I saw a commercial by MSNBC. And three times on that commercial, it had gays marrying at the altar. I'm going to send a letter tomorrow.
Yeah.
I thought y'all stood for more than that.
Yeah.
It's amazing what people will do for money. Yeah. But anyway, we are at a moral low.
Yeah.
And you know why? You know why that deficiency is? It's a gospel deficiency. It's a gospel deficiency. Preachers are preaching on lifestyle stuff. They're not preaching the gospel anymore. Nicodemus in John chapter 3 came to Jesus by night and said, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" And here's what Jesus said, "Ye must eat right." You understand, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. This man lived by the Levitical law. Brother Charles, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe there was 101 rules he had to live by every day. Is that somewhere in the neighborhood? 613. Boy, was I off. 613 rules he had to live by every day. And you can't handle the 10 God gave us in the 10 commandments. Me neither. Thank God for grace. The Lord said, "Ye must be born again." That's the answer to the sin problem in our country, is salvation. Do you know the greatest news I would love to hear on Fox or CNN tomorrow? It's not that they overthrew Obamacare. It's not that they impeached Obama. Are y'all all right? And I'm not preaching politically tonight. I'm just saying. I would rather see on CNN tomorrow more than anything else, President Barack Obama trust Christ as his Savior. That'd take care of everything else, man. Joe Biden. Shortly thereafter was led to Christ in the Oval Office. You can't tell me young people say. Boy, y'all got some of y'all dried up on me right there. Well, you're not the judge there. I'm not judging them. I'm inspecting fruit. Apples grow on an apple tree. Peaches grow on a peach tree. Communism grows on a wicked tree. I'd love to see him get saved. I've been praying for it ever since the day he took office. Watch this. Some of you going to vomit in your mouth right here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Where you? I believe with all my heart, if the man got saved, he'd be a good president. If he really got born again, y'all okay? It'd change the way he thought. Didn't get saved. Didn't you getting saved change the way you thought?
Yeah.
Let me say it again. Didn't getting saved change the way you thought?
Yeah.
Before I got saved, I thought it was okay to run wild, drink like a fish, chase women.
Yeah.
Getting saved changed the way I thought. It changed my morals. We have a moral need, and the answer to our moral need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, "Well, I know Christians who are living wicked." Yeah, because ain't nobody preaching about morals. No, it's lifestyle. You're bigger, better you. That stuff makes me sick. 60-something thousand people sitting in the auditorium. Tell them about Jesus, man. You got husbands ready to leave their wives and wives ready to leave their children. You got kids with a crack pipe in their pocket and you talk about you ought to eat whole wheat bread. You got to go? All right, y'all be careful, brother. It's wet out there. Bo, where you at? He's gone. Amen. They're going to pick up a group from New Man that's been on a mission trip, so pray they be safe. Amen. He didn't say he needed you. We need some people to rear back and preach. You must be born again. There ain't nothing wrong in this country that Jesus cannot fix. Do you agree with that? I believe he'd turn the economy around. I believe he'd get us out of debt. I believe he'd make us a world leader again. I don't think we're doing too good in that department. They're laughing at us. They're laughing at us. Have you seen the commercial they play in China? It's a commercial on China television. And it's about technology. And it's about everything they've took over. And the teacher, it's a college classroom setting. And it said, this used to be this. Till they got involved with us. The last picture, you know what it was? It was the White House. And everybody in the room starts laughing. They're laughing at us. Buddy, they didn't laugh at us when the Ten Commandments was allowed in the courthouse. They didn't laugh at us when they prayed in Congress. Y'all listen to me? They didn't laugh at us when we had prayer in school. They feared America. You know why? Because we had God on our side. Our moral need. Your greatest need in all this world is your moral need of Jesus Christ as your Savior. I know it's Sunday night, and chances are ain't nobody here lost, but chances are somebody here is. You must be born again. If you die in your sin, you'll burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I hope you'd get saved tonight. Three of our little old children. Brother Thomas, you don't know what bus is off of, do you? Brother Anthony sure was. He made sure one of them buses got to roll this morning. He said, I bet some of them kids is off that bus. I bet they were too, brother. Three of them missed hell this morning. You know why? They realized they needed Jesus Christ. Amen. Our moral need. We need the Lord. Then we have a social need. A social need. Do you know people need people? Do you know why solitary confinement is punishment? Because we need interaction. Somebody said, man, I'm a loner. I'd just like to go off in the woods somewhere. And you wouldn't like it long. You ever heard of cabin fever? You'd go crazy. One of our basic needs is fellowship. And the right, we need the right kind of fellowship. Amen. 1 Corinthians talks about the body. And he said the eye needs the hand and the hand needs the foot. I mean, it's all the body. But we're not independent of one another. We work together. I have a need. You know what that need is? I need you guys. You may not want to admit it. You need me too. And we need each other. We need to have one another's back. We need to pray for each other. Hey, listen, we need to have the right kind of fellowship. I was talking to somebody one day about one of these local gyms here, these fitness centers. Y'all be careful about that stuff. Oh, God, quiet then. I said be careful about that stuff. I had somebody who works there look me dead in the eyeball and say, preacher, it ain't nothing but a hookup joint. Promise you. I ain't sending my wife down there in tight lid tards. My wife's finer than a frog hair, son. Y'all listening to me? No, you ain't going in there for some jerk to hit on. Some guy's got more muscles than I got. Whatever. I don't want no guy standing over there in the mirror doing nothing. I can't, amen. I do that, it just boop, little bump, you know. Some guy in veins popped out on his neck. Ugh. I bet you I can outrun that sucker. Come on, big boy, get you some, amen. I'll run him till his steroids pops every vessel in his body, amen. We need the right kind of fellowship. Some of you need to clean off your Facebook. I'm not against you having Facebook, but there's a part of it I hate. It's like a computer. It can help you or hurt you. It can help you prepare sermons. It can help you study your Bible. It can help you do a lot of things, but it can help you mess up your marriage. Amen. Any of you men got Facebook? You got girls on there as your friend? You need to stop that. Boy, y'all just died on me. Let me ask you men a question. I don't have my phone on me. My wife is at liberty to pick my phone up. When my wife picks up my phone, I don't go, oh, no, no, no. I used to. Stacy'd send me jokes. He wasn't all the way saved then. My wife said, "What you get from Stacy?" No, 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 no. Don't open it. But seriously, if your wife picked up your phone and there were text from multiple women. Now, y'all be honest with me. Look at me right here. We're serious. Would it bother her? Let me ask you again. Would it bother her? All right, men. Would it bother you if you picked up your wife's phone, and there's four or five guys she's texting every day?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we'd have an old-fashioned phone-stomping party down at my house. I turn that iPhone into eye dust. Stay with me. Now, we agree with that, right? What's the difference? Well, they're just my friends. That's where it all starts. Had a man and a woman in this church about destroyed both their marriages. One of them did. They sat in my office, both couples. I wanted to take a belt and wear them out. You know where it started? Texting. It started out spiritual. Well, it's good to see y'all in church today. I missed y'all last week. Blah, 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 blah. I sat there and read them. You really look good in that dress today. Starting down the wrong road, friend. But it all started with spiritual. It's good to see you in church today. Yeah, I bet it was. And that's what I told him. I said, yeah, I bet it was. We got to make sure we have the right kind of fellowship. I used to say, you won't find a woman's name in my cell phone. There are a couple. But it's ladies in this church who do things, and I have to contact. I mean, just they ain't no way around it. Miss Vanessa and Miss Sheila and the camp meeting and things like that. Brother, I guarantee you, I've never had a conversation with a woman in this church that didn't have to do with the operation of this church. I'll call Brother Freddie and say, Brother Freddie, and say, well, do you mind if I ask your wife a question? I'll call Brother Warren and say, hey, brother, do you mind if I call your wife and get some stuff lined up? Yes, sir, brother. Hey, they know I'm calling them before I do. Some of y'all are looking at me like, that's ridiculous. No, that's safe. I don't want these women. There are too many women in America. There are too many women in Villa Rica. Let me just bring her on down. Who have been burnt by a pastor. Who spoke to them inappropriately. Who touched them inappropriately. By the grace of God, that'll never happen here. I want to have the right kind of fellowship. I respect your wives. I do not lust after your wives. I got all I need. We okay? We ought to have the right kind of fellowship. We sit out here every night at camp meeting, fed the preachers. I'm done preaching, I guess. I want to address something different next year. I know it's a whole lot, but I just hate that some people feel like, well, who gets to go and who don't? You know what I mean? And I felt guilty. People who cooked and brought food didn't even get to eat it. And we're trying to figure out how to do this, and we're learning, but I just think we can do a little better than that. But we sat out there and had the best fellowship. And we went home and sat down on the couch. We all went home, changed clothes, put on something comfortable. And me and Angie and Caleb and Jasmine and Miss Rebecca would sit on the couch. We just laughed and cut up. That's good fellowship. And we need that. We need that interaction with one another. Bye, baby. Don't run into the wall. We need the right kind of fellowship. Amen. And thank God we have it around here. Amen. Thank God we've had problems. And as long as we got people, we're going to have problems. But for the most part, I'm not worried about none of you men messing my wife. You know why? Because we celebrated 20 years this year. And my men bought me a Remington 1911. 45. Got 2 full clips. I can shoot you till you are no longer wiggling. Amen. We have a social need. We have an intellectual need. The Bible said in the book of James that we ought to get some wisdom. We ought to get some wisdom. You know why so many people make stupid decisions? How many of you made one or two or three or four? Every one of us. You know what, boy, if we'll seek God before we start making these decisions, amen. Have you ever made a bad decision and knew it when you've done it? Have you ever drove off the lot and say, you idiot? You enjoyed it at the time. Till that payment book came in the mail and then you said, you idiot, what were you thinking? Amen. Or till it falls apart. We need wisdom, man. Listen, we're raising children in 2013, soon to be 14. We're living in a public school system where it's okay for girls to hold hands. That's okay when they're in kindergarten. That's what girls are supposed to do, fix each other's hair and all that. But they sure ain't supposed to be kissing in the hall. But we're living in a day where they're telling them that's okay. Everything's right but Christianity. You can be anything you want in America except a white conservative Christian. Well, you can't even be a black conservative Christian. Ask Herman Cain. Y'all okay? We need wisdom. We need wisdom to direct our children, to raise them up. Amen. That's our needs. That's our needs. We've got a physical need. We've got a moral need. We've got, I'm just going to get my notes back out. 49, Stacy. We've got material needs. We've got food, water. We need those things. We've got physical needs. We've got a personal need. That's a relationship with the Lord. We've got moral needs. We've got social needs, and we've got intellectual needs. Now, those are the basic needs that we find in the Bible. And I didn't turn to all those tonight just for sake of time, and my wife's in the nursery, and she said, hurry. Seriously. Has the Lord, for the most part, met your needs? I still need more wisdom. I still need a better relationship with Him. And boy, that thing's growing, 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 getting better and better. Praise the Lord for that. I still need more wisdom. Lord, I need His wisdom every single day, especially pastoring this crowd right here. Amen. Best crowd in the world. That's right, Brother Terry. But God has met our needs. I want you to think about it. This week, it'll probably happen tomorrow. That statement's going to fly out your mouth. I want you to stop and think, Lord, I'm sorry. You're taking care of all my needs. But I'd sure like to have cheese on my Big Mac. My Whopper, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Todd, if you'd come. Just play, sing a verse if you want to, whatever you got on your heart. Let's just mind the Lord tonight. Wonder how many of you have told Him today how thankful you are that your needs are met. Amen. Brother Anthony, got a freezer full of meat. You got to. You sent me a picture of a dead deer every day. It's probably the same one over and over and over. God's been good to us. Parking lot full of nice vehicles. Got a home to go to. I don't think there's anybody here tonight wondering, where am I going to sleep tonight? Unless you're like me, you got so many beds, you don't know which one. Our needs have been met. God's been good to us. Lord, to give Him glory for it. Let's mind the Lord tonight. Brother Todd, you go ahead. Whatever you got on your heart. You need the altar tonight, you come.